Dave, I have Proverbs 31 woman. It's just great to be able to speak that to the children and the husbands and everything. But dads, there's not a whole lot of real good stuff in here about us husbands, about like don't provoke your children to wrath and stuff like that. So I'm just going to say happy Father's Day. Be good. Do well. All of our children are gifts from God. And if you still have a dad that is either near you or far from you, I'd encourage you, no matter what the situation might be or might have been, call. And just give a I love you out there. So we're going to be in the book of James, if you turn there. And I hope everybody's getting blessed by this. James is kind of a straightforward guy, isn't he? He doesn't mince some words, and I kind of like it in a sense. I've been accused of being as subtle as a sledgehammer when I talk to people. I don't know where anybody gets that, but what he's telling us are things that each and every one of us probably know. We know them deep down inside. Whether or not we do them, that's one thing. And we've been on that with James about being doers of this word, not hearers only. It's just not reading Time magazine or, a periodical. This is a word from God to me. And my Father is asking me to do something. Now, whether or not I do that or I don't do that, that's strictly up to me. But don't, please, after we hear some of these words, because I feel today, it will cause most of us who want to produce fruit, want to mature in our faith, get rid of some old baggage, it'll cause us to take a good look in the mirror. And sometimes that's real good. But don't let it bring you to a point where you get frustrated or to a point where you feel like you've failed. We all have faults, but God doesn't look at us as failures. And we need to know that. His word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We beat ourselves up more than I think even the enemy of our soul. He doesn't have to work on some of us. We are so hard on ourselves, it's unbelievable. And this is just a way to examine ourselves. It's just a way to try to mature in our faith a little bit. And so today's just a little fertilizer if you want to grow something a little better. And we can do it. You know, I look at ourselves and think, you want to gain weight, you have a certain thing you do. You want to lose weight, there's another thing that you can do there. You want to run in a marathon, you practice. We do in this physical, we do and do and do to bring ourselves to a point where normally we don't, I don't run, most of you know that. I don't run unless it's a fire and it better be big. But if there is a fire, I can sure run. And some of us don't do a lot of things either because they're annoying, they're hard, they make me, I don't exercise because it makes me tired. I mean, why in the physical can we do these things? But when God says, here's where I want you to walk this week, walk. Not run, not exert, walk. I just want you to walk in this area. Rebellion seems to set in immediately, excuses and rationale. So James right now is taking us another step, I feel, from not just being doers of the word and hearers, examining ourselves, bridling this tongue. Remember the last 2 weeks? I mean, it is unbelievable. Don't ever think that we can be perfect in any of these areas, especially bridling of the tongue. I've said it and I'll continue to say the tongue cannot be tamed. That's God's word. But it can be controlled, just like a horse, just like a ship that we'll see down the road here. We can bring it to another part. So he brought us to that. Now he's bringing us to an area that I don't think we look at enough, because we equate our faith and our belief too often with the things that we do. I do this, I do that. God's looking beyond that. There's another realm he wants us to, again, walk in, and I think we'll hear it today. So we're going to be looking at James chapter 1. He's telling us again, he's telling the believers of this time, but the Holy Spirit is bringing it down through the ages to each and every one of us, how a believer should conduct ourselves on and off the field. And I'll repeat that again, how a believer should behave himself, herself, on and off the field. What, you know, what does that mean? On the field, the church right here, right? Woo-hoo, look out, we're a force to be reckoned with. Off the field, things change. But when we walk out that door, there's a sign that's been there for I don't know how long, you're entering the mission field. And I heard this statement, I can't remember what football coach it was. He was asked after a full losing season what his plans were and how does this happen? And his statement was, well, on the field, we're not doing too good. But off the field, we're doing great. And I mean, it made me stop and think, what? You know, on the field, we might not be doing too good, the mission field. Off the field, we are. Because it's in our heart, it's in our mind. We want to please God. We want to serve God. We want to do a little bit better. So as we look at today, realize we're doing good. None of us are going to be perfect. This is going to take forever. God's word, when we even attempt these things, he says, be holy. That's one that puts you down, doesn't it, sometimes? Be holy as I'm holy. I've fallen so short. But when you look at that in its original language, it's be being made holy. Wow. Ongoing. We're not gone yet. We're not standing in the presence of our Lord yet. So we still have some time to tune something up. And let's look at what James, through the Holy Spirit, brings us today. So James 1, we were in, if any man among you in 26... seems to be religious. We talk good games, most of us. And bridles not his tongue, deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain, profitless, fruitless. It's not where God wants it. It's not like we don't have it or we're going to lose it. It's just not up to that standard, if you would. So what James does then in verse 27, he tells us pure religion. Here's religion, and we don't like that word, right? When people ask, what religion are you? Oh, I'm not religious. You know, that means I'm Catholic, Protestant, you know, Method. We are religious, period. We have faith. We have belief. That's our religion. That's an action that comes out from us because of a belief that we have. So when he says here, pure religion, this is what God is looking at. And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father God, help us to have our ears open, the noise of the world just kind of silenced right now, that we might hear what you're asking in each and every one of our lives, Father, in the life of this church corporately, but more so personally. As we walk through this world day by day and hour by hour in front of people who are just dying, Lord, literally. So help us to just examine ourselves in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Inward change. I want to ask for hands. How many of us saved? How many of us believe? You know, we have a belief in Jesus. We have accepted him as Lord and Savior. How many of us have done that? Well, without the hands, that means then an inward change should result in some type of outward conduct. That's what God expects. I've been changed in here. I'm not Doug anymore, Gibney. Although legally, I guess I am, but you hear what I'm saying. You know, I'm not the old Doug that I used to be. You're not. We're changed. We've gone from that natural into a supernatural, into an eternal state through a relationship with Christ. And that internal birthing, if you would, should change my old man's conduct 100%, if not close to it. Don't fool ourselves with outward activity. And when I say outward activity, these things are all good. I'm talking about reading my Bible. That's great. How are we going to know what to do unless we get into God's word and hear him speaking back to us? But don't take that as the, well, I read my Bible every day. I read it every day. That's good. Well, I even mark my, look at my Bible, how it's all marked up. How is my Bible marked me? not how many marks I put on here, how many colors I have or whatnot. Don't fool ourselves with outward conduct, in a sense, Bible studies, going to church. This is great. What would a church be without the church? This is not. This is just a building. This could be another restaurant. This could be another, bar, store, clothing store, Goodwill. Could be anything. This is the church. What would the church be without the church people? But don't look at the, well, I go to church. What more does God want? Well, I'm in small group activity. I do that. Oh, and we go out once a month and give stuff out on the street. These are good acts of kindness, if you would. But what James and the Holy Spirit is saying, he wants us to take it another step beyond these things that we hold so dear for my Christianity. This is what I'm a pastor. Don't you know? Well, most of you do know. Your pastor sometimes embarrasses not only himself, but his Lord. God wants more from each and every one of us. Not a whole lot, just wants a little. Because one day he's going to come back. Very soon. Very soon. And we've said it and said it. Teddy's favorite statement to me when I was saying, boy, I hope that Lord just tarries a little bit more, not that he's tarrying, so I can get some of my stuff together. And Ted goes, not me. I want him to come right now. I'll just mess it up more if he gives me more time. I mean, what? Really? I mess it up every single day somehow. So I go to forgiveness and I walk on. But let's not fool ourselves with all this stuff as we look at what James is saying in here. There's so much more to this walk, not only bridling the tongue, but it also begins up here in our thought pattern. Because what comes out of here that's not full of grace and kindness and the word of God and his love comes from me in here. So there's much more than just learning how to control that tongue like a horse. You can control a horse. But I've said it weeks and weeks. Anybody ever get on a horse that doesn't want to be controlled? Pat and I ran a ranch for 40 years. We had some horses. I don't care what you did. You were not stopping that horse. Susie's saying, yeah, they'll do what they want. But they can be controlled. And so can this tongue. So can these thoughts. And today, I feel he's given us in 27 a test. Two things are involved in that test, and I better get going on them, to show us where our faith is and how I can become fruitful. So it's not just my speech and knowing all the right Christianese to speak at the right time. Back in when I got saved and some of us got saved back in the 80s, whatever it was, there was an old statement going around by most of the ex-hippies, which a lot of us were, don't give me your toot, show me your fruit. I had a guy tell me that and it was like, what? Well, he didn't want to hear all of this just speaking good stuff. He wanted to see some shoe leather hitting the ground. And I think we should revive some of those old statements because we've just gotten kind of complacent and in these areas. So let's look at those areas. Verse 27, two areas that a believer should practice, I feel, daily. Practice, just like anything else. And our churches should encourage this behavior more than I think we do. So the first one, remember what it said there. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Visiting, that's one thing we got to look at. Number two is that I would keep myself unspotted from the world. Ouch, this is rough. We got to live in this place every single day and it gets on you, dirt gets on you. But God is telling us that there's a way to move through this stuff without getting, I love that word spotted in the Greek. It doesn't say that, but I look at slimed. Don't get slimed by this world. You ever remember that kid show? And the guy would give the wrong answer and down would come this green stuff and boom, and he'd just be standing. That's what happens with us when we invest more into this world than we do into what God is asking in each and every one of us. So visit is that first thing that I think he wants us to look at. Visit. That just doesn't mean show up, knock on the door, and say, hi, how's everything going, and turn around. Visit. Visit the orphans. It says the fatherless and the widows Visit orphans, those that don't have parents. Visit means much more than just say hi to them. It means look after them. It means to meet the needs that they might have. Care for them as if we were caring for ourselves. I fall short of that. Just be honest. I'd like to do it more often. I wish I had that drive to do that. But what God is asking of us, instead of just talking a good faith, is go take care of some people. There's people out there that are no different than you and I were when we were seeking something and we didn't know. And Jesus visited us at that time. Either personally, some of us have had unbelievable experiences when he came into our life. He started that little intervention in our lives by other people, didn't he? People coming up and telling you sometimes the truth that hurt very bad. Sometimes people who would just try to get you to sign on the dotted line, whatever it might have been. But God took the time to follow after us every minute. That's what visiting is, until my needs are taken care of. So that's what he's asking. Let's look ahead just a little bit in James chapter 2. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, remember what we just heard in James 1, the past verses, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works, can his faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, just the common needs that are all around us, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, call Robin Ames, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. God wants more than just speech and, oh yeah, we should, oh, that's a great idea, oh, let's do that. He wants our words to be put into shoe leather. That's where it gets hard. That's not what it looks like, okay? What he just told us in 27, that's not what faith looks like. Just say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, go ahead. What we're saying is, don't bother me, I'm busy right now. I don't want to do this. It's going to cost me too much time, energy, money, you know, whatever it might be. That's not what this faith should look like. And what he tells us then is, what it should look like, he doesn't, Holy Spirit. Turn to Matthew 25. This one is rough. Like I said before, don't shoot me, I'm only the piano player. This is what it should look like. My faith, Doug Gibney's, you're responsible for yours. I'm not responsible for your faith or how you act it out. I am responsible, though, to say the things that God tells me. If he's made me a watchman and I don't speak those things that he said to put out and obey in my own life, I got enough to answer for in my life. Trust me, at the mercy seat. I've got enough. I don't want to answer for my wife too. So this is why I'm saying this to you, honey. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. This is what this faith looks like. It's got so many areas. It's not just visiting an orphan and a widow. These were people that had needs at this time that were beyond what we can even imagine. If you were an orphan or you were a widow, you had no income coming in. The only way that you can maybe, you know, make a living was to sell yourself into slavery, to sell everything. You had nobody to take care of. God wants us to do that. I don't know which one of us, but that's what God wants us to do, to reach out like he did to us and meet us at our point of need. 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then will he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, and as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These are the five I wills, if you would, of God, as compared to the five I wills in Isaiah 14 of Satan. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat, It's just, you know, this is the visiting and the caring and some areas that maybe you and I could step into in ministry. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in naked in verse 36 and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. I don't know if anybody's ever done any prison ministry. It's rough. It's rough. But I'll tell you what, there is blessings in every one of these, and especially a prison ministry, because that's generally a person that's got no hope whatsoever. And their only hope is Jesus Christ. But so are the sick. Nobody's there if they're alone. Who's bringing food? Who's writing a letter? Who's giving a phone call to just let them know I'm thinking about you? And then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and fed thee, and thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in, and naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto thee? The focus is wrong. The focus is just, I would have definitely done that. Jesus is with us more than we realize every single day. If we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So when I go like this, the Holy Spirit is kind of walking right along with that. When I step over here, he's right there. Jesus is with us every breath of the way during this life. We can't just focus on, oh, I do that at church. Remember I was saying, let's not be so, you know, fixated on my church conduct or what I do. And well, Jesus is saying, how about that guy? How about that one? What are you going to do with that one? He is with us. He's with us. He's with us. When did we see you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Well, you know, sometimes people don't receive what I've got to say. So what? How long did it take? I'll say me. As I point to you, how long did it take you to accept what Jesus was trying to reach out and do in your life? All those years that you were saying, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stop? I need some kind of help. I need something that's real, something that's more. I need peace. Any of you ever say that? Because we were so twisted. I just want to be loved. I want to be loved for who I am. He did that. Don't worry about the results that come back to you. Jesus will take care of that. Just get out there and do it. Tom Neal and I were offsetting, but I was thinking about this. That should stop. It should have stopped me in my tracks. We're having a cup of coffee at Brew Market in Boulder. This guy comes walking over his car. His wife's over here. She was very pregnant. I mean, I felt like, go help her to the car. She walked over to her door. The husband went over here on that side. She opened the door, and all of a sudden, boom, she just passed out. Fell right on the concrete, didn't even know she fell, I think. Jumped up, me and Tom ran over there, you know, got her head up, and she opened her eyes up, and I said, I'm a pastor, can I pray for you? Oh my, she started slapping me, getting my, get away from me, get out of here, don't you dare pray for me. So I thought, okay, well, just say, you know, you can pray in your head, don't worry about the results. God said, go over there and pray, get over there and pray. If God says, go over there and give that guy a buck, give him a buck. If God says, call your mother today, your father today, do it. Just do it and watch what God can do to us. That's what it should look like. These are acts of grace that we just read here. And I'd encourage you, read all of that again and ask God, where can I fit myself in here? It's like signing up on that sheet that you asked for the cleanup. Where can I plug myself in here? You know, you've all heard Pat when she worked at the elementary school. She used to go to Target and buy hairbrushes and scrunchies. Is that what they called them? Scrunchies or something? And these girls that had no hygiene whatsoever from the homes they came out of, she would brush their hair in the morning, put a scrunchie in there, give them a little granola bar. Just little acts of kindness. Isn't to buff her up. Most would say, that's nothing. You know how much that means to that person? When maybe her hair was combed that morning? Maybe she had a new scrunchie in there when all the other girls had it? What'd you ever do for the guys, though?
Zero.
So anyhow, acts of grace and acts of kindness. That's all God's asking each one of us to do. The second one is to keep myself from the world, from being spotted from this world. It's so easy to just get dirty. That's why they used to wash their feet when they'd come into houses back then. They wore sandals, dirt, and the manure that they walked through from the animals that were there, and they would wipe their feet. God's just asking us, just do some random act of kindness, some kind of a grace move that will draw somebody to ask why. We can say, because he did it for me, he's asking me to do it for you. Turn to Romans 12. How do I keep myself from being slimed by this world? Romans 12. We've all read it. I don't think I have enough time. I wanted to go through the whole thing. Maybe we should. Paul says to the Roman believers, and very close to what James is trying to impart to us, random acts of kindness, acts of grace, walks, if you would, of separation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's begging us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not like something extra. This is what I should be doing because he saved me. He brought me from death to life. This is what I should be doing for my Lord. Don't be conformed. This is what the spotted by this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be molded by it. Well, all the guys do this. All the girls do that. If I don't do this, then I'm not going to be accepted. So what? Where is that going to be in eternity? If you were accepted for having a cig or telling an off-colored joke or running around, it doesn't matter. Don't be conformed, don't be molded into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what God, why are you doing this? Because God is asking me to do it. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Boy, we do that, don't I? And I said, don't I? Because I do. Put ourselves on levels. I'm not as bad as that guy. You know, how come we don't say, oh, I'm not as good as him? I always look at, I'm not as bad as that one. But to think soberly, that means clear-minded, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of the other, having then gifts differing. See, we don't have to go out and do everything. God has gifted each one of us in a certain way. What are you good at? What do you feel that you could do? God's saying, go do it. And when this whole body utilizes the gifts that God has placed within us, can you imagine what that might look like? Why not? Why isn't it happening? You know, we had to move down to, we chose, I guess. I should stop saying we had to. Down to the Flatlands. There are 30, Pat counted between Frederick and Firestone. Was Longmont in that?
Yeah.
And Longmont, 30 churches within like a 5-mile radius. 30 churches. Why isn't that place on fire? 30 churches. What's happening? I can't get involved in that. Or I don't know. We only have to do one thing. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got some kind of a gifting. We've got the Holy Spirit. He goes on in 7, it's, in ministering to wait on our ministry, teaching. He that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You see how this thing is, it's kind of working on both sides of the fence too. He's talking about believers, how we should act with one another to encourage, stimulate each other. And he's also talking about who to do it to, and that's the people that are outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue in instant prayer. So are you depressed yet? Like I said, don't feel bad about this. He's not saying every one of these got to be 100% with the stamp on it. Just start working on it. 13, distributing the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Ow. Ow. That's the one that God wants us stepping out into that arena. That one that might be the hardest one that you ever thought, why would I even want to talk to this person? Because that's how I was with Jesus Christ. And he walked into our lives, visited us, cared for us, did those things that we needed at the time to make us understand what love really was. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Some of us make mistakes by trying to say too much. Rejoice with, are you happy? Then rejoice with the person. If somebody's weeping, don't try to come up with some great cliches. Just weep with them. Because you obviously know that their heart is as broken as yours might be. That's easy, isn't it? It's real hard to try to think of something real great to say, though, isn't it? Just rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Recompense no evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, because sometimes we just need to walk away. If it's possible, as much lies within you, live peaceably with all men. That's, why isn't that happening? I ask myself that every, why can't I do this? Why can't I just say, okay, you know, and then after the third admonition, if a man or a woman's still a heretic, the Lord says, just walk away. I think he said that because he knows we'd start running our mouths, knocking the person, gossiping about the person, tearing them down to make me feel a little better maybe. Just walk away. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is give place to wrath. Stop. Just stop. How many times does it tell us that? It tells us about our mouths. It tells us about our thoughts. It says don't go to bed angry, because that's a place where the enemy can come in and just keep working us over and over. And then when we get up in the morning, we just start again. These are things that I can do. Otherwise, I don't think he'd be asking me this. Give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Goes back to Matthew 20. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. All that means is it's not like something we should laugh at and there, that'll get him, like he's got a big pan up there with coals burning through his head. He's going to think, or she's going to think, why did that person just do that for me? Why, in the midst of this loss or this tragedy or this health problem, can you still have some kind of hope in your life? That's how we point to Jesus Christ. Be not overcome with evil. This world stinks right now, but it's not where it should be, and it's not where it's going to be before the Lord comes back. It says, don't be overcome by this evil. This is only a short period, what we see happening. It's going to come to an end. So while we still have time, he says, but overcome this evil with good. What is that good? It's those things that you and I just read about. I was reading this week, and William McDonald, these are commentators I wrote down. He says, William McDonald said, the practical outworking of my faith, it's found in acts of grace and my walk of separation. Now, that doesn't maybe make a billboard, does it? It's not going to be that you're going to be on TV or, you know, radio as such a great person. But he's saying my faith is just my practical outworking in small acts of grace and my walk of separation. Guy King, another commentator, says, walk daily in practical love and practical holiness. Sounds pretty simple. Just try to do it and watch how the enemy comes. But remember, God works in you and I, if we're in a relationship with him. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, the other side of that coin, it's up to me to do it, to be obedient. But in either side of that coin, we're never alone. God is with us. He's trying to get his church to rise up, I feel. He's trying to get Doug Gibney instead of slowly slipping back where I know I don't want to be, he's trying to get me to a point where I never thought I could be. I think he's doing the same thing with you. But I'm going to point the finger at me first so that all of the fingers point back, you know. They're all going this way. Let's just review that this week, pray over it, ask God where I can plug myself in into one of these areas. I think especially anger, wrath, verbal, so destructive. Let's see what he can do. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have a fixed point of reference, no matter where we might wander, no matter where we might find ourselves feeling lost, Lord, that we have a fixed point of reference we can come back to. We have a God that forgives. We have a God that hears and sees and cares, a God that chooses to walk with us daily, no matter where we might be. And I thank you for that. So be with us this week, Lord, each and every one of us. Just show us those things that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, happy birthday, Marilyn. Let's stand and we'll worship the Lord. Hey. See you.